The First Chronicle chapter 12, as we've been studying. Also, Pastor Rudy made a copies for you guys. If you can pull out this sermon outline note, I'm sure you will notice there's some of the blank area you will see, and you will see on the screen that there's that blank area will be colored in different way. By the way, for nice that comment you made, do you want me to pay you later, or do you want to pick it up now? Okay, let's start. I've been a volunteer chaplain for the Pima County Sheriff Department last 4 years. Out of that 4 years, I've been with the Pima County Regional SWAT team as their chaplain for 3 years. This is the guys. They are very brave guys. My job at the SWAT training, it sounds nice, right? It's chaplain of SWAT team training. My job is dragging ice chest full of Gatorade and water wherever they go. So in other words, I'm their official water boy. Time to time when they feel sorry for me, they said, okay, you can come shoot with us, or I can train with them. And then when they get upset when the Gatorade is not cold enough, they say, okay, why don't you stand over there so we can shoot at you? They call it diminution. It's a kind of small size paintball. It hurt. One time I got shot not in the protective gear, and I had the leather gloves on my finger. When I pulled the leather glove off, it was swollen twice, right on the spot. So it's not something you want to mess around. Whenever these SWAT officers, SWAT operators get trained, they always dress up in the full gear, no matter how hot it is. You guys are living in Phoenix and around this area, so you know how hot it can be. In Tucson also, it's hot. And not only that, they usually go inside of the building, abandon the home, abandon the mobile home, or some of the enclosed building area where there's no air conditioning. Try to think about there's no air conditioning, no air movement, and you have about 45 to 50 pound gear on you in the middle of August. It's not fun. So they dress up that kind of thing, but when they go out to the real call out, it lasts in the middle of the sunny day, no shade, between 3 hours to 12 hours, depends on if there's a hostage involved. Among the their gears are two important pieces. One of them is a weapon, and the other one is a ballistic shield. Now you can see that this guy has a Glock 22, and there's M4s, and this is a ballistic shield. It can take the incoming round from the criminals and protect them as they're going into the building. This is two important things. So my text is again from the First Chronicle chapter 12, verse 8. Let's read together. We are reading this umpteenth time by now. Some Gadai joined David at the stronghold in the wilderness. Mighty men of valor, men trained for battle. This is ninth verse. Who could handle shield and spear, whose faces were like the faces of lions. By the way, Bob, that was an insightful teaching. Thank you. And were as swift as a gazelle on the mountains, and Tony was touching his feminine side. And it goes on. It says, text portion is, it says, he could handle shield and spear. Okay, let's put that this ballistic shield as the shield we are reading. That M4 rifle or the Glock handgun, put that thing in the spear or the sword that these people were using in that century. We are going to look at the four different things. The first one, shield. Second one, spear or sword. And third one is connection between spear and shield. And fourth one we are going to look at is how to use it properly and efficiently. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you and seeking your guidance. We've been so far blessed immensely by your word through your servant. Again, help us learn from you how to put on the faith put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and listening to your word, that we may be equipped, as your word said, the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. And this is a privilege that we may dwell in your presence in seeking your way, in seeking your will. Again, let your name be exalted. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First one I'd like to bring your attention to is the shield of faith. How can we talk about the shield of faith without going into the Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, please? Oops, went too far. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Are you there yet? Above all, taking the shield of faith with what you will be able to quench all fiery darts of the wicked ones. See, this Roman, now you can put it back. Oops, let me try it. There it is. This Roman shield is about 2 feet wide and 4 feet long. It's made out of wood. It's a heavy, heavy shield. On top of all, they put the metal coat on the top so it can quench any fiery arrows that are coming from the enemy. Sometimes they link this shield together, side by side, and they advance. And they put the shield together. I'm sure some of you guys have seen this kind of thing in the movie or in the diagram in the book. And they put the shield together, and then they put another shield on the top, and they make a little pause in the middle. And through that port, their own archers fire their own arrows. It's like, and then they advance. It's like a moving firewall with a fire port in the middle, and they can advance. Let me put it in our term. Yes, it is the spiritual warfare individual thing. However, we need to work with each other. We need to link our spiritual arms, spiritual shield with one another. We cannot fight the world's spiritual battle alone, but yet we need to link ourselves with our shield of faith and the fellowship of others and accountability of fellow believers. It is important for us to keep the accountability with one another. Pastor Bob wisely brought to ask you to bring forth the sin you've been struggling. Keeping the accountability with each other. See, let me just put it on a side story. Before, a man to go into the porno shop or adult bookstore, they had to look around, make sure nobody's looking at, and walk in. Correct? Now, with a click with the mouse, you are already in their sight. I mentioned this to one of the brothers here. 30% of the website around the world is a porno site. 1 million pages have been published every single day, and the 30% belongs to a porno site. How many viruses do you get in your emails and the website? Many of them. How many of them belongs to a porno site? Probably majority of them. So this fiery dart comes to you often. Paul's reference to fiery dart relate to one of the most commonly used battle tactics during that time. Before they faced to face with hand-to-hand combat, usually the archers from the other side throw the fiery darts, fiery arrows. What is this flaming arrows would do? Would it actually kill people? Most likely not. In most cases, it doesn't because it has an arrow, but it's wrapped up with a bunch of the things to keep the fire going. So it wouldn't hurt the person or fatally. However, it will confuse the people. It will demoralize people. Fiery darts of Satan against the believers do not have a fatal effect to the physical body or physical life. However, the symbolic thing is many different sins: immorality, hatred, envy, pride, covetousness, doubt, worry, and you name them. I'm sure you've felt that kinds of fire that coming to you when the things happen to you and you're thinking about, now what am I going to do? You start to panic. Does it come from God? It does not come from God. It comes from enemies. It comes in all different sizes and the shape. Once the arrow hits on the shield, the sickness depends on the depth of our faith. Either it can penetrate our shield or ricochet and fall on the ground. Can be harmless. But if we have weak faith in the Lord and His word, enemy's arrow will not only set the fire on the shield and consume it, but also will penetrate the shield and hit our heart and damage our relationship with Jesus Christ. Again, as I said before, fiery dart from enemies, from Satan, is not to kill our physical body, but to confuse us, to demoralize our spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. You understand? You with me so far? That's very important. When we have another peace, when we have a peace of God in our heart through faith in Him, it will guard our heart from the Satan's fiery dart against us. But however, we cannot really have a peace of God until we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So if we don't have that personal relationship with God, we are already starting from the deficit. Let's keep your finger in first. Just go to the next one. Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4, please. Verse 7. If you have not memorized this verse, this is the verse you need to memorize. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, please. Now, working, there it is. Sorry. And peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will what? Guard our heart. It does not say guard our physical body. It guards our heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Now, the next thing that we want to look at is the sword of the Spirit, or the spear. In this case, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Second portion of verse 17. The sword of Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. That is Bible. So when I refer the sword of Spirit, when I refer the sword, you guys automatically know that that's the Bible, that's the Word of God. In any battles, if we take a defensive position all the time, we will not have opportunity to choose time or battle condition or the method to fight. It's nothing more than scrambling from one survival to another survival, just to have enough time for us to scramble back so we can protect ourselves. Somebody wise said this: the constant and good offense is the best defense. More often than not, our idea of a sword spirit is kind of to carry around. Some people say, well, I have this study Bible. I have this small Bible. I have, you know, one of those palm and a PDA. I have two Bibles, three Bibles. Well, that's fine and dandy, hunky-dory. But what about putting that Bible in your heart? What does it do any good for you if you don't know the Word of God in your heart? A lot of people talk about the Bible's history, and they even know how to quote the Bible verses, but yet it does not go from here to here. It does not move down to about a foot down into our heart, and they don't know how to utilize that what they learn from the Bible. We actually sometimes even use the sword of the Spirit against one another within the church. as a church internal struggle. I know some of you guys never heard the church split or never heard the church fight, but there's actual things happen in the Protestant church and Catholic church. There's a church fight. And we tend to use the Bible verse the way we want, out of context, to one another, even though we are in the same side. I'm sure you heard the story that the great general in the, during the war, American Revolution, and two guys, two American Revolution soldiers are fighting over the food at the mess hall. And he stopped them and he said, "Gentlemen, enemy's over there." A lot of times we have more firepower against one another within the Christian realm than against the enemy. We should not. Let's go over the few characters of God's Word. Number one, God's Word is effective. God's Word is effective. We may not understand the value of the soul, the spirit, but the Satan does. He knows the value of the Word of God. He will not do anything to see that we keep our sword in it. He will do anything to keep our sword in the sheath, or we don't even put on the first place. He doesn't want us to have a sword of spirit, so he doesn't want us to have a Bible in our heart. Satan directs his attack toward the Word of God because he knows the effectiveness. He knows the effectiveness of the Word in the spiritual battle. He tried to interrupt our time and studying the Word and reading the Bible and disturbing us from memorizing the Bible verses. How many of you guys have come up with an excuse, like I did often? Well, I memorize the verses, but I cannot remember. How many of you guys did that? Come on. Are you guys all holy and you guys memorize every verses? Yeah, right. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. This is verse 16. This is a so common verse that a lot of us know. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let's go one more verse. Hebrews chapter 4, please. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Chapter 4, verse 12. Again, another good verse to memorize. For the word of God is a living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and the spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitude of the heart. In our church, Calvary Chapel of Sarita in U.S., wondering, Sarita, where is that? It's about 20 miles south of Tucson, about 40 minutes away from the border. It's an interesting town. It's one of those small towns. We have three traffic lights. We got excited when the fry store opened up. Before then, the exciting thing is UPS truck rolled in. Everybody get excited. I give our congregation on Sunday morning one verse to memorize. And I give them a secret how to memorize the verse. I ask them to read it 10 times a day. Just read 10 times a day. Don't even try to memorize it. Read it 10 times a day for 7 days. After 70 times reading the same verse for an entire week, you will have that thing down. And time to time, go over that thing. I'm sure they have a stack of them by now. And they go over, that verse, and they're pulling out. Any good soldier will keep their weapons combat ready situation. When was the last time you went through your verses and then have that thing ready? Combat ready, spiritual combat ready. If you haven't, you need to start. It's not too late to start it. So choose one verse a week. If you do it from today, until next year, this time, you will have 52 verses memorized. That's a 52 verse under your spiritual belt, you can fight against the enemies. Can you do that? Can you do that? I cannot hear you. Can you do that? Can you read that thing 10 times a day? And you say, well, I don't have a time. Do you have a time to watch a sitcom? Do you ever watch the time to watch the ESPN? That you have a time to memorize, read that verse 10 times a day. Kabish? All right. God's word is accurate. Okay, next one. We did that. The Word of God is accurate historically, geographically, scientifically, and prophetically. Bible is filled with the prophecy from Genesis to Revelation. Many of them have been fulfilled accurately and in the kind of track record any logical person can say that the rest of biblical prophecy will be also be fulfilled. Bible seems like appear to, it's out of harmony when it comes to scientific things. So that's the reason why university professors kind of look down on the Bible. It's so outdated. Really. Let me show you a few things. Here's the three examples I want to show it to you. God's earth shape. When do I supposed to finish this? 3:25? Yeah. I have 17 minutes? Wow, I'm in trouble. Earth shape. About 2,600 years ago, most of the world thought the world is flat. However, the prophet Isaiah declared that world is a round sphere in Isaiah 40:22. Let's go to Isaiah 40:22. Isaiah 40:22. Are you there? It is He, that's God, who sits above the circle of the earth. Circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like a grasshopper, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain, and spread them out like a tent to dwell in it. Second thing I find about the scientific thing from the Bible is earth suspension. Earth suspension can be found in the Job 26. Let's go there again. Job 26, right before Psalms. Job 26, verse 7. Job proclaimed this about 4,000 years ago, earth hanging on nothing. Verse 7 says, He stretched out the north over the empty space. He hang the earth on what? Nothing. One more thing. Sun. What about sun? Islam's Quran, written in the 7th century AD, it says the sun set in a muddy spring. No wonder why they're so messed up. According to Book of Surah, chapter 18, verse 86. But David, writing about 1700 years before the Muhammad, and the sun is actually on a circuit. Let's go to Psalm 19, please. Psalm 19, verse 6. It reads, "It is rising. Its rising is from the one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end. There's nothing hidden from that its heat." Do you think Bible is true? Yes. You can count on it. Third character of the Bible, the Word of God, is God's Word and the Holy Spirit agrees. We just read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by the what? Inspiration of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the author, using human authors, 40 different human authors to write these 66 books. As the author of the Bible, of course, he does not go against his own word. We need a foundation in the Word, but we also need the Holy Spirit to bring it to life. The God's Word is God's voice through His Spirit. God's word is God's voice through His Spirit. Some denominations ignore that the word has what the word has for them as instruction. They depend on the emotional hive every time too much that they forget what the Holy Spirit wants them to learn. That is completely wrong, folks. So when we put too much emphasis on the word, what happened to us? We dry up. When we put too much emphasis on the spirit and the emotion, we blow up. But when we have both enough, we grow up. It is so important for us to have both. We need to depend on the Holy Spirit to expound the word to us, but we have to stay in the context of the word of God to grow. Fourth character I find is that God's word is revealing. God's word is not only revealing the truth and wisdom of God to us, but also reveal the depravity of mankind. The more I read the word of God, the more I realize I need God desperately. In this reason, we need to read the word and meditate upon it, put it in the memory so that we need the word to tell the truth and remind ourselves God's way. Holy Spirit can bring those things back to remembrance for us. We don't have to be a Greek and Hebrew scholar to know the word of God. Pastor Bob said he's a high school graduate. I'm art college graduate, never been in a seminary. Well, because some people say, you've never been in a seminary? So I said, yeah, I've been in a seminary, the same seminary as the Apostle John and Apostle Peter went. They kind of looked at me, what kind of seminary is that? Seminary of hard knocks. It's a difficult way to learn, but then again, probably it's the best way to learn. Not in man's way, but God's way. Again, you may say, well, I'm not a preacher. I don't know all this Greek and Hebrew. So I don't have to study the word so hard. But you can be a Bible student. Can you not? If this is you consider this as a living manual, shouldn't you learn how to read and shouldn't you know how to apply this to our lives? One time I was putting together a barbecue grill and I thought, I have a college degree. I don't need no stinking manual. I put it together all by myself. I put the wheel backward. So when I drag it, guess what? There's a leg. I said, from then, I'm going to read the manual. What a great concept, huh? Fifth character, God's word is holy. When it comes to the Word of God, we better not mess around. A lot of people trying to change the Word of God. Thomas Jefferson is a great example. He doesn't like this portion, so he cut out with the scissors. There's a great Greek word for that. Hogwash. And you're thinking, what kind of Greek word is that? It's a redneck Greek word. God put the special emphasis on His Word. He literally put the word of His before His own name. I'm going to go through the three verses rapidly. Revelation chapter 19, verse 13. Revelation chapter 19. If you went to the concordance, you went too far. Chapter 19, verse 13. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and His name is called His Word, the Word of God. Jesus' name is called as the Word of God. Psalm 138. Psalm 138, verse 2. Are you there? Are you getting tired of the turning pages? Better not. You're in Calvary Chapel. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified what? Your word above all your name. John chapter 1, verse 1. Every time I read this portion, I love it. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. What is the pronoun for the Word? Huh? What is the pronoun for the Word? Commonly, we call it it, right? It, it. So we consider that as a, in the beginning was the Word, pronoun is it. And the Word was with God. It was with God. And the Word was God. And then note how the pronoun gets changed. He was in the beginning with God. So who is He? It's Jesus. Word of God is holy. Next character I find is God's Word is powerful. God's Word is powerful. When we know the Word, we are not only able to defend ourselves, but we also know how to use it aggressively. It does not depend on the person's communication capability, but depends on his power and greatness. I'm the good example. The guy who speaks broken English speaking to American who speak English fluently, right? You guys speak perfect English, right? Right. Isaiah 55, verse 11, please. I would make fun of Jandro, Tony Jandro, if he was here, because he always make fun of my English. But he escaped. 55, verse 11, please. Again, this has been quoted by the other pastors. So shall my word be that goes from my mouth, it shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. Let's take a look at the connections between shield and spear. Shield and spear. Folks, without faith in God, knowing and memorizing the Word of God is nothing more than having an intellectual knowledge of the Bible. A lot of professors in the religious department, in the university and college, they know the Bible verses. But they don't know Savior. Without knowing the Word of God in our heart, having faith is extremely dangerous because we can easily be led to occultic practice. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." My peoples are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. We cannot and we should not say that one is more important than the other. We cannot say the faith in God is more important than knowing the Word of God. No, we need both equally. We need to have them in the battle, spiritual battle. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Am I going too fast? And the faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the what? The Word of God. How can we have a faith unless we have the Word? How can we have the Word unless we have a faith in God? So we need both. Last, not the least, using the shield and spear or the sword properly and efficiently. Again, I'm quoting the verses the other pastor already quoted. Apostle Peter talked about devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Devil wants us to rely on our feeling. But if we stand on our emotion and focus on the circumstances around us, we fail. Faith is not something we can see, nor that we can see our God. But we need to believe in Him to see through the times of trouble. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1. Of course, that's the verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now the faith is substance of the things hoped for and evidence of the things not seen. Folks, if you can see everything, that is not faith. You're just looking at the things that appear in front of you. And again, I believe it was Tony Chandra said, if the training is easy, that's not training, just routine. That's something you do, I do every day. That's not considered as a challenge. That's not considered as a training. Let's remember the four facts of the faith. Number one, faith look beyond circumstance. Faith look beyond the circumstance. Second thing about the faith look beyond our emotional up and down. Not the circumstance, not our feeling. Third thing, faith look at what God can do. Not what we think he should do, but what God can do. Fourth aspect of the faith is believing God not only what he can do, but also he will do. In Luke chapter 4, we see that Jesus facing Satan face to face in the 40 days and 40 nights trial and temptation. There. He could banish Satan at his will. He could say, you ain't, and Satan would be gone. But he chose to fight against Satan with the word of God. Why did he do that? Because that's what something we would use. Instead of using his divine miraculous power, he chose to use the word as an example for us. Psalms 119, please. Another great verse to memorize. Psalm 119, verse 11. Let's read this thing together. Psalm 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart. I might not sin against you. What is the purpose of putting his word in our heart? One of the reasons is here. Putting his word in our heart so that we may not sin against him. Let's round all this and make it an application. Number one. Faith is a believing in God's willingness and love for us and looking beyond what we can see around us. Faith is a believing God's willingness and love for us, looking beyond what we can see around us. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Chapter 11, verse 6. Okay, but without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. For he who has come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If we come to him, that God is willing, God can do all things, and looking beyond the emotional up and down, looking beyond our circumstance, he will do. Second application I'd like to bring it to you is the word of God has a power to set us free. If you're a born-again Christian, you are set free from the bondage of Satan by the power of God. But it also keeps us free from the temptation and the power to take us to the place where we can have a close and intimate relationship with our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. According to Word of God, I'm going to give you the secret. When the temptation comes to you and face to face and doing this to you, here's the secret, according to James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Let me make a good example. Joseph, what did he do? When he was tempted by this gorgeous looking, don't think that she was ugly wearing the gunny sack, Mrs. Potiphar. I'm sure she was a drop-dead gorgeous woman with a very sensual clothes on, and she was inviting this teenager, somewhere around 17 to 21, full of hormone. What did he do? I will not do this. And he ran. So submit yourself from God. Submit yourself to God and resist devil. Flee. He will flee from you. 1, 2, 3. Simple fact. Guess what we do? I'm going to stay. See if I can fight back against the temptation. Duh. If I go against Satan, there's a 2 hits happen. He hit me, I hit the deck. It's not even a match. It's not even a contest. So why do I want to fight against Satan without God's power? Put the word in your heart and the Holy Spirit will bring that to remembrance. Have a faith that guards you with a shield. Third application. Having all the faith in the world, having entire Bible memorized doesn't do any good for us if we choose to not apply God's principle and precept into our lives. We have an ultimate choice to follow the Lord or walk away from Him and face consequences. Guess who has choice? You have a choice. I have a choice. I was talking with a friend of mine who is another senior pastor, and this is the true fact. He told me, you know, some of the pastors involved in the adultery, they went, as they are leaving the pastor's conference, they're calling their girlfriend. I'm not talking about a Calvary pastor. Calvary pastors never do that kind of thing, right? Our heart can be that hardened, thinking that we are immune. Folks, let's evaluate ourselves clearly. How can we evaluate ourselves? Here's a measuring bar. I'm a depraved human being, but I am a child of God because He made me holy. He made me righteous in Christ Jesus. Don't let anyone condemn you. Remember what the Bible says. There is no condemnation. Those who are in who? Christ Jesus. He set you free from death and the bondage. Have a faith in God. That's your shield. Put the word in your heart to resist against Satan. That's your sword. And use it properly every day. Fight against temptation. Don't rely on your own strength, but rely on God. Submit to Him first and resist the devil. Guess what? You win. God bless you.